I think Father Ernest will concur with me that when you write a sermon, you're sort of sitting all alone. It used to be, with a quill pen and parchment, writing out your sermon for hundreds of pages, but now at a computer. And you forget that there are people out there that is going to follow up on the gospel immediately. So when you read the gospel and then you come to give the sermon, you think, why didn't I talk about that? Anyway, now that you have my confession, today's readings seem rather limiting and specific. They tell us of the final orders given by Jesus to his remaining disciples. They're to go only to certain places and only to certain groups of people. These directions are not for a mega broadcast. Only the few, the chosen, can be their audience. The human limitations of 11 followers walking through probably inhospitable towns is obvious. And yet, here we are, 2,000 years later, hopefully telling the story of salvation to the chosen ones. Not the ones chosen by the disciples, but the ones who have chosen to come here today to be again told the story of the Messiah. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is giving his disciples and us some last encouraging advice. Go out and tell people what you know about the Father who sent me. Tell people about the truth of faith and worship. Jesus knows the limits. They're the same ones he's had. We have a much better circumstance in which to follow his advice. We are not likely to leave here and tighten up our sandals and walk to Cupertino to tell people about the promises of salvation. They may be coming toward us, but what can we, in this time and place, do with the directives we hear in Scripture? I like to think that God knows not only our weaknesses, but also our strengths. The story we can share is not identical to the one those hopeful, sorrowing men knew. What is the good news we have? I want to share some of the things I find myself to be considering that news. First is to acknowledge that a holy man filled with love and appreciation of all creation just a short time ago, in terms of creation, told us that he understood us and loved us. And he said we all had some responsibility for letting other people know that the world is good, that we are good, and that we are expected to keep, to help others, and to show in every way possible that we love creation and love the creative energy of the universe, called by a lot of different names by different people across time and space. Jesus is the gracious and loving voice who has called us to acknowledge this power. He lived to teach all those he met, and some of them wrote down what he said, or what he's reported to have said, so that later people could know too. Today's first reading is one of the stories about how one group of people was introduced to the story of creation, story of our relationship with the creator of the universe, and charged with a responsibility to share that information with all the world. It doesn't matter that in human chronology, all the world at that time was not our whole sphere. I do believe that God knew California was here, even if Moses and Peter didn't. Good news, our good news, is probably not identical to the one reported in today's directive. There's a matter of linguistic translation, but perhaps more significantly, the world in dozens of ways operates in ways the original writer of these texts would not recognize. The basic energy and motivations, however, are probably similar. The meaning of love is basically understandable. The definition of who should hear the story has changed, however. The Jews were to be the original audience, and both Jews and non-Jews were the original followers of Jesus. But he himself offered salvation to those beyond the synagogue, and he included both women and men. A recent cartoon circulated by a priest of this church, who shall remain unnamed, shows a group of robed men rushing away from several women. One man calls back to them, "Thanks for telling us what happened. We'll take it from here." In today's reading from the Gospel, we find the beginnings of what became the church. It tells who is left after Jesus leaves his earthly existence. These are the ones with a charge that seems impossible. Even in today's world of communication and interchange, such a job looks impossible. Perhaps at least one miracle of our faith story is that the story is known to us at all. From a small group of untrained ordinary followers to worldwide millions of those who identify as Christian, we are here today to hear the story again, and we're here to decide again if and how we are to be part of the church. Not any building, not any denomination, not any set of promises or actions, but part of the millions of humans who call ourselves Christians. You may find it a challenge to believe that great haul of fish. You may find it hard to think of water becoming wine. You may realize how hard a leper might be to cleanse. But what can we think about now? We know these stories. They seem really to have happened. We're here to try to make sense of them. There is really only one lesson, and it's simple. But it's not easy. Cherish creation. Give thanks to the Creator. Love each other. Amen.
Amen.